Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, EFL, Scottish Premiership and much more. Live on Sky Sports.
I'm prepared to anything I can. Well,
do it then. Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's football show. Nathan with you for the next hour. It is the eve of the League of Ireland season, and between now and 10 o'clock, we are going to be previewing it in the company of Dan McDonnell and Stewie Byrne. There is live football tonight as well. Europa League currently ongoing, and Celtic with a wave of real positive momentum, but not tonight, because they are 1-0 down at home against Bodo Glimt in the Europa Conference League. Second half just getting underway at Celtic Park. Leicester City 1-1 at home against Randers. Same time gone and that one at the King Power Stadium. The result of the night, without question, Rangers. 4-2 winners away at Borussia Dortmund. That one in the Europa League playoff round. So a huge victory for Rangers over in Germany. Just before we get into looking ahead to the League of Ireland season, we got a chance for you to get your hands on tickets to two of the most anticipated games of the opening night. We have two pairs of tickets for Shamrock Rovers' first game in defence of the Premier Division title against UCD at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow. And we also have two pairs of tickets for the sold-out clash of Shelburne and St Patrick's Athletic at Talca Park. To win, we'll make it very simple. Just text 53106 with your name and either Rovers or Shells, whichever game you want to go to, and you will have a chance to win them. Best place to get tickets for the two teams to get season tickets is shamrockrovers.ie or shelburnefc.ie. So that's 53106, Rovers or Shells, depending on which game you want to go with. Here on Off the Ball, of course, whenever we're previewing and talking football, we want to give you the most unique voices, the voices you don't hear anywhere else. So that's why we got Dan McDonnell and Stewie Byrne, who've been locked in a cave and haven't been on every single League of Ireland preview. Bloody hell, Stewie. That extension's going to be a big one. What's this? You must be making a fortune with all these podcasts and TV shows you're on.
No, I didn't think I was. I didn't think I was on. Hell, the overexposure, is it?
But you've been saving your best stuff. You've been saving your best stuff.
You've
for
never
tonight.
Been afraid to let me know these things, so please do let me know, because I don't want to be.
You've been saving your best stuff for tonight, haven't you?
I have been. Yeah.
I listened to Stewie on a preview earlier, just so I'd know what his opinions were. So if he actually starts to repeat his opinions, I'm like, no, we need something different than this. We need something fresh on this.
They're just the opinions for a Tuesday afternoon. You know,
they tend to change by Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the league gets underway tomorrow night. There's a storm or brewing, though. So hopefully all these grounds get through the weather over the next 12 to 18 hours, and there's no late call off. So it is a sold out Talca Park. Shelburne under Damien Duff against St Patrick's Athletic, also under new management in Tim Clancy. We have the champion Shamrock Rovers against UCD, Dundalk up against Derry City, and also Finn Harps against Drogheda. Then on Saturday, it's Sligo Rovers up against Bohemians. And in the First Division, it's Bray Wanderers against Cork City, Wexford against Treaty United, Athlone Town against Waterford, and Longford play Cove on Saturday. Go United are the bye week. Let's start with the champions, Stewie. Shamrock Rovers going for three in a row. It's something that's been done on a semi-regular basis. But also there have been teams, Stewie, who didn't manage the three in a row, who won the two in a row and couldn't quite get the three in a row done.
I know where you come from, Nathan.
Well, you were part of one of those sides. When you sit here at the start of the season and there's a dominant side, it almost looks impossible to see a situation where they don't go and do it again. And particularly with Shamrock Rovers, who have a stable squad and have added to a very stable squad with the best player in the league when he was there previously in Jack Byrne, and also an Irish under 21 international in Andy Lyons. And there's all sorts of turnover, managers, players at the other club. So right now, it feels very hard to make a case that Shamrock Rovers won't win three in a row. But quite often in 6 months' time, you're thinking, God, how did we not spot that? A bit of complacency or a lacking of talent in certain area of the park, or something happening behind the scenes. Do you see anything in Rovers at all? Anything that the opposition can look at and see fault with?
The biggest worry is going to be if there's any sort of complacency, you'll see it right from the get-go. You know, it'll happen in the first couple of weeks, first month. And I think that is probably the reason why we've seen Stephen Bradley react the way he did last week following the team's performance against Pats. it's when you look at what's happened to the other clubs, that could be the issue for Rovers. They've only but strengthened this year. You know, bringing Jack Bourne back in is a huge signing for them. And when you look at the kind of the managerial merry-go-round in the other clubs, players have moved around in the other clubs, and there could be a tendency for a little bit of complacency maybe settling into the Rovers team. And that may or may not have been the factor behind the performance last week. I don't know. But the fact that Stevens reacted the way he has, I think it's a positive sign from my point of view. I think that is going to be his biggest role this year. And the hardest work he's going to do is in the first 6 weeks. He just has to have them rocking. They don't have to be, you know what I mean, they don't have to be 100%. No one's ever 100% at the start
of the
season.
How does complacency manifest itself?
Well, you know, it happened to us. It happened to us in 2005. We came out into the 2005 season off the back of obviously the 04 year where we won the league, the European stuff with Deportivo. We signed Colin Hawkins, who was probably the best centre half in the league at the time. Glenn Crow, probably the best centre forward in the league.
Ollie Byrne announced it live on TV, yeah. Of course, didn't he? He announced the three lads from Bowes, Bobby Ryan.
And Bobby Ryan, probably the best right winger in the league at the time. And, you know, we were delighted to have them. And, oh yeah, I can't put my finger on what actually happened, but what happened in the first 6 weeks. I remember Owen Healy got injured, so he missed the start of the season. We played UCD at home, and looking at Rovers' picture this, tomorrow night, we ended up scraping a 1-1 draw, last minute penalty, just to get 1-1. And we ended up we drew the first three games, and we just never got going. We couldn't fit Crowe in, really, couldn't fit Bob. It wasn't their fault, it was all our fault. None of us responded. We didn't, instead of us going another gear or going to another level, we sort of just stood still a little bit. And what we found was that everybody that was coming to play us just, they went to another gear, like, you know. And it's funny, you know, I remember listening to an interview Roy Keane actually gave in around that time. And he spoke about the year when Varane had come in at United for 15 million. He was the biggest signing in the world at the time, came in from Inter Milan. It might have been the 03 season. But they just never turned up, never got going. There was complacency among the players that surely if you sign the best players, they'll just fit right in. But what had happened to ourselves and ultimately what happened to United as well that year, there was just an imbalance that we couldn't fix. And then we only got going halfway during the season, but then by then the season was just too short, really, to be quite honest.
And then that does feel somewhat similar to the conversation around Rovers, an imbalance, because you look at the players who came off the bench last week, Richie Tao, Graham Burke coming on for Danny Mandreou, Jack Byrne is starting. They seem to have an awful lot of talent, but an awful lot of talent condensed in a similar part of the pitch.
Yeah, no, it is, like, it is it's an unusual sort of ray of light for the other teams to be looking at, that in some way Jack Byrne coming to Shamrock Rovers could be a negative, when of course, like, you know, the two seasons Jack has played in the league, he's been the best player, he's been voted by his peers the player of the season. But I think the point is a fair one. I remember covering Shells loads in that 2005 season. I think the big discussion would have been, could Crowe and Byrne play together? That was obviously a big discussion point. I suppose what's different with Jack is that he has been at Rovers before. You know, he does know a lot of the personalities that are there. You know, he sort of would have, you know, relationships with sort of, if he's in a midfield with Gary O'Neill or playing off, you know, Graham Burke or whoever it might be, Dylan Watts. You know, Rovers still play broadly similar system, you know, pretty much the same sort of system. So it's more the case of, you'd imagine Jack Byrne is going to play. It's how the situation is managed for maybe those who were prominent last year but might have to take a step back, or that issue of rotation and keeping people happy around that. And I think, you know, a couple of Rovers players have spoken, but I mean, last season, to be fair, there was a fair degree of rotation between Burke and Mandrew and sort of even Gaffney and Green when everyone was fit. They had a lot of injuries in the middle part of the season, actually. But it's just more getting that balance right. That, I mean, Stewie's been in those situations and can speak far better on it, but you know, you want a right environment, I assume, around the training ground every day. And if you have a couple of people whose heads are down, you have to make sure that their heads aren't down and they respond to it in the right way possible. Now, it may well be that this is just very straightforward. You know, that Jack Byrne just slots back in. Yeah, one or two other people have to accept that their game time is limited a bit, but they find a way to accommodate them. And hopefully, from their perspective, there's a European campaign coming down the tracks where they're accommodated. But I think the early weeks are going to be interesting.
One of the things with Rovers last season is that they didn't really batter teams. You know, they had a lot of games that they won late on. They had a lot of games that they won 1-0, 2-0.
They had a huge April where, I mean, you would argue if things had gone wrong in April for them, they would have been a completely different picture. I mean, they picked up, it was a 10 points from 12.
In their first...
In
the opening sort of 10 games, I think half of the games they got goals after the 88th minute or later that affected the result of the match. You know, turned a loss to a draw or a draw to a win, which was extraordinary. And they weren't, no, you're right, like they weren't steamrolling teams. And I actually do think Jack Byrne previously when he was in the league, he was brilliant at dominating some of those games against maybe the lesser sides, you know, so-called lesser teams. And that's when he really struggled against Longford and really struggled against Drogheda. And they were the games where they were getting late goals. And you sort of think Jack sometimes, you know, he can drop very deep and influence the game in those type of matches. And you would think that would help Rovers considerably this year.
I can never figure out watching Jack Byrne where he should be playing. As Dan said, he can drop deep. He takes the ball off the centre halves. Like, do you just want him everywhere? Do you just expect he can pop up as the number 10 when he wants and trust him?
Yeah, I don't
like
him. I don't like him dropping deep. I just don't. I just from watching him playing, I think it's important that that Stephen Bradley can kind of convince him that he's best and more effective in that middle final third of the pitch. You know, and that's where he has that ability to get goals.
Is the issue
yards,
though that they don't need him there if they have?
No, because they've got plenty of good players that can do that. You know, that's where balance comes in. Speaking from a personal point of view, I had to completely change my game when Joseph Ndoh came into the club, or if I was ever playing at Wesley, had to completely change. I would have been a box-to-box midfielder, love to get beyond centre-forward, love to make runs forward. Realised very quickly that Joseph or Wes, you know, when they ever played central with me, they just weren't effective when they dropped in deep, because they're not hurting teams. Like, you know, their ability is to, you know, pivot and sharp in small areas of the pitch and hurt teams in that middle final third. So had to completely, you know, change my game for them, and more than happy to change my game for them, because they're just so talented. And I think that there has to be a realisation, and I'm sure there is a realisation amongst the Rovers players, especially the players that have played with Jack. And, you know, that's something that the players can talk to each other about, you know, and if they're hungry this year to go on another level and to do what I feel they need to do, and Dan touched on it there, Europe is a huge thing for them. That has to be their focus this year. And I think if that's their focus this year, that's what will set them up in the league. They mightn't get off to a flyer, but they have to make sure they're right and they're at it, because they have to build towards...
So you don't see a danger in that of almost looking too far ahead or looking up rather than looking down?
But there's always a danger that you get the timing of this all wrong. You know, if your goal this season, your main goal this year, your goal is always to win. Your goal will always, if a club like Shamrock Rovers at this moment in time, your goal is always to win a league title, no doubt about it. Like, you know, and they know that now, but really their goal needs to be progression, and they need to get to the group stages of a European competition. That's 4 months away, you know, or the start of that campaign is 4 months away. That can be difficult for a player to kind of tune your body to. How do you peak at that period of time? Because if you're going to peak in 4 months' time, then there may be a tendency to take your foot off the pedal a little bit at this stage, thinking, well, you know, the manager needs us to be ready for this and so on and so forth. So it's just, it's, you know, he's got so many players, Steve, and he's got big egos. That's all fine. That's all part of the course. But this has to be player driven as much as it is the manager. And they have to want, especially after what happened to them last year. It was disappointment in Europe for them, I'm sure. And it hit them hard, because even their league form kind of struggled a little bit off the back of it. But they have to be hungry to want to do it in Europe, because there's a lot of eyes on them this year, and everything is right. All the ingredients are there. you know, it's kind of no more excuses, really.
I think that's the bit, sorry, I think the big thing for Rovers this year that would make you think that they can avoid that complacency is that they're not coming off that hangover from an amazing year. Like, I think they finished last year probably a bit angry in some ways, you know, as much as they had the joy of winning the league, it was won so early that they finished the season with that sort of sense of they were knocked out of the cup, so they're probably watching the cup final, a brilliant cup final event, they weren't part of it, and they had the European thing hanging over them. And some of the teams, and like Stewie references his 2005 year at Chelsea, but they were coming off the back of that European year. You think of Dundalk in 2017 after the amazing 2016 they had a hangover. Even Rovers 2011 from Michael O'Neill, they changed manager. But all the teams that have got to the same group stages or pushed on very far, it's affected them the following year. Whereas I don't think Rovers have that. I think they finished last year probably thinking they hadn't achieved everything they'd set out to do. So as a result, you would make you think it's less likely there's going to be some kind of, you know, drop off based on some kind of hangover from that. They haven't got to the top of the mountain they want to get to, I don't think. And that's probably a good thing from their league title prospects.
53106 is the text number if you want to get in touch. Just one other potential issue for Shamrock Rovers. This came up on our new late night LOI show. Stewie, I know you're going to be tuning in tomorrow night. Twitter Spaces. Just get on, follow Off the Ball on Twitter. You'll see it right there. We want you involved, Stewie. Johnny Ward was on expressing concern about Alan Manus. Neither goalkeeper last week in the President's Cup had a good game, yeah, to put it mildly. Johnny was suggesting, and his feeling was, that it's a deeper rooted problem with Alan Manus, that he wasn't at his best last season. Is that a potential issue for Shamrock Rovers, his form?
Yeah, it is. You can't deny it. Like, you know, Alan's a very professional player, and he's been a top goalkeeper throughout his career. But he's, you know, at the age he's at, like, you know, that he has to be. It's important that he's being pushed by somebody else. I don't know whether that's the case at Rovers. Like, I think we've seen something similar happen with Gary Rogers as well, coming towards the end of his career. It was a big mistake that Dundalk made, that they kind of never were able to either bring someone in to replace Gary or to push him, or you need that, and goalkeepers need that, you know. They kind of work in unison together, but there has to be a hunger there, and there has to be a sense that, you know, my if I don't do my stuff here, I'm out the door, like, you know. And it's important. Like, I know you're kind of isolating one player, he's the goalkeeper, but it's hard to avoid, like, you know. Nearly 40 years of age, or is he 40? Is he 40 then?
No, I don't think he is. Well, no, he's I don't think he's quite there.
Yeah, but the
he's not been 40, Stewie.
No, but he's getting to that stage of his career where he needs to be kept on his toes. There needs to be someone there.
Kind of, 40 in May.
Yeah, well, someone there chomping at his bits, and that's the thing. You can't beat age, like, you know. It's just par for the course. I know there's this thing that goalkeepers can play to a certain age, but, you know, the important thing for him is that there's competition.
Yeah, I don't think I'm sure he's probably aware. I think Rovers have looked at other options, because I think he's looking to move on to a coaching situation. I think he may have something sort of lined up in that regard, I think, with the IFA. But I don't think it's that one where, yeah, you might think you want to find a solution or the next one, but I'm just not sure if they were able to do that. And as a result, like, they were so good last season, or they're so dominant, that I suppose in those areas where things maybe weren't amazing, you get scrutinised. But I don't think they were able to maybe identify a better option than the one they have that's there at the moment. And maybe, you know, maybe there may be a plan, sort of, maybe of options that they're looking at, maybe from a view to next season. And it does seem like the arrangement with Manus is very much one more year. You know, that seems to be the I'm not sure if it'll be explicitly said, but that's sort of, I think it's sort of, you can read between the lines, or maybe it's been said a little bit more openly that that's going to be the case. I'm sure if they'd found one in the winter that really fitted the bill for a number one, I'm sure they would have gone for it, but didn't quite come to that. So
There's an element of a kind of a calculated, I wouldn't say risk, but like, they're probably looking at the strength of their squad. Rovers probably feel they weren't at their best last year, and they can definitely go another couple of gears. And they're looking at the rest of the squads and said, no, I think we're happy enough for what we have, like, you know. And that's,
well, maybe
the
risk. It's the second half of the season thing where you start easing somebody in some cup game.
They have that ability to bring in. They have that ability to bring somebody in the, and someone of quality in the summer that not many others would have.
The obvious next destination when we're looking ahead to the season is Shelburne and Damien Duff. But before, maybe we will go to Damien Duff. Dan, what are you most excited about for this season?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Duff in a minute. I mean, I think there's probably, there's going to be people in other clubs and people are grumbling. You see a few comments about it, but you can't, like, if, maybe it's just maybe the industry I work in and my perspective coming at it, like, for, but from a media perspective, when you're constantly talking about selling the league, no matter what, like, you'd love to get to a stage where you don't have to do that. It's just a natural part of the discussion that sort of, that it gets, you know, blanket coverage. But someone like Damien Duff coming in is exciting. And I would make no apologies for feeling that way about it. But we'll probably talk about that in a minute.
Like, the league needs to be careful what it wishes for.
I agree.
Like, Damien Duff is one of the most beloved footballers that has played for Ireland because of the style of football he played with. He is one of the greatest footballers ever to play for Ireland. One of the most successful. He has come back to the league. He's not come back in a jolly. He's taken it deadly seriously. Yes, there's going to be attention, but take advantage of that. Use the attention that's on the league and get your club in the mix as well for some of that positivity that's around the place. But looking at Damien Duff, thinking, well, he's arrived in and suddenly all the journalists are interested in is talking to Damien Duff, like, it's just not the case.
Yeah, like, but of course it's a good, sorry, I mean, and like, it's important as well. It'd be great if he did well, because like, we're seeing a change. There's no doubt, and it leads into what I'm excited about. I mean, there's no doubt with the Brexit changes and the change in climate, you now have the opportunity that you can say with, you know, with absolute certainty that we are going to see some of the best young Ireland players playing here before they move on to wherever they move on to. So like, the first 6 months of this year, you can go and watch James Abankwa play for St Patrick's Athletic, who's joining Udinese in the summer with a view to being around their first team squad. And there will be more in the coming years of that nature. But on top of that, yes, we will always have our best players going away eventually. But if you have this mindset where maybe, and I kind of wonder, is it something to do with Stephen Kenny getting the chance as well too, you know, to be this, you know, to come out of the League of Ireland and be the senior team manager, that for maybe high profile ex-players who kind of think, okay, this is a route as well where I can further my coaching progression and this is actually a good place for me to work. And I think that that's only a good thing. You know, I think that there's actually a kind of profile of younger coaches around the league too, who, you know, their reputations are enhanced by their work and they'll have their own ambitions, I'm sure, to follow Kenny and you know, wherever that might take them. And if the likes of Damien Duff are getting involved, I just think that's great. You know, I honestly have no issue with it.
He touched on something which I always knew was the case, even from my career in the game here. And, you know, managing, when you manage a League of Ireland club, you're effectively managing the club. Mm. You're everything. It's everything, because the game is not an industry here the way it is elsewhere. So you're dealing with everyone from whoever's making the lunch to whoever's cutting the grass to whoever's cleaning the dressing room. It's literally they want your acknowledgement. They want to ask you, is this what you want me to do? And it's like, he was, you know, it's 24 hours. It's and I think probably for the likes of Damien, he seems to me to be the personality that probably needs that in his life. He kind of needs that full on. That's how he that's when he's at his best. Mm. And to be quite honest with you, most of managers all the top managers I've ever dealt with here, that's when they're all at their best, really. They kind of need that constant engagement. And
well, maybe that's where that little bit of frustration has crept in, particularly among some of the other managers, like all of the papers today. Damien Duff did a press conference and spoke about, you know, going on daft.ie, and the public are looking, going, wow, Damien Duff on daft.ie. I'd imagine every League of Ireland manager, the length and breadth of the country, has driven a player to an apartment or a house and stuck them in with five other lads and hope for the best. Like, that's part of the gig.
That is part of the gig. I mean, there's clubs out there that have two or three, four houses, and they're like, they're probably getting phone calls every day from landlords or next door neighbours saying, what's going on with these guys, and whatever the case may be. But that's the job. That's the job. And I think that's where experience comes in. And maybe that'll be, those elements might be annoying to him. But if he surrounds himself with, you know, good people, and, you know, if he's willing to maybe offset some of that responsibility, which can be difficult as well, you know.
No, it's tough. I mean, it's funny, like, there's one club, I'm not going to say it was, but I think, like, you know, you hear about the different workarounds that people have with accommodation. There's one club where I think new recruits coming in, they go and stay in, like, they're brought into a very nice house, and then after settled for a period of time, they're moved on to a slightly inferior house, and the new signing comes into that house. And there's all these games that people play. So, like, I would have had a few messages from people today, all right, with sort of various screen grabs of people involved in football, that is, you know, with screen grabs of various parts of the Duff interview. He's not about creating an elite environment and a part-time budget, and people were pointing out, well, we've done that, or we've done that, or we've done that. And that's But listen, hey, what about it? He is part of football debate everywhere at all levels. So, you know, nothing that unusual about it.
One of the difficulties with previewing the season for an awful lot of the teams is the amount of turnover there's been. And Shelburne is one of them. Whatever about the Damien Dubb factor and the intrigue of his style of play and what he's going to try and do at Shelburne. Is it, what, 15 players in, 15 players out? There's been a big turnover at St. Patrick's Athletics. There's been managerial change. Likewise at Dundalk. There's a state of flux in a lot of clubs that isn't there at Shamrock Rovers. So what are you expecting from Shelburne?
I expect them to be fit, organised. They're going to try and play as well, but I think they'll be realistic. I just think they'll be just full of energy. And I think, look, tomorrow night he's spoken about it and he's nervous about it, and I'm sure he'll just have them chomping at the bit. Like, you know, I think energy and hunger is huge in the game. I thrived on that. Like, you know, I think that's probably one of the key things in football. You have to be hungry, you know, regardless of what your ability is as a player. But and I think he'll get that message across. So, but he's openly admitted that Nathan, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He can only do what he's learned as a player, what he's learned as a coach in his time, whether it be a Shamrock Rovers, Celtic or Ireland. But this isn't Shamrock Rovers, Celtic or Ireland. This is Shelburne. And like you say, there's 15 players in, 15 players out, and it might take them time. But I would certainly expect them to be full of energy. I think they'll be well organised tomorrow night. I think that the first couple of games are key for them. Look, you know, Tim Clancy will be saying the exact same thing. He may look to go to Shells with a particular game plan, but considering how well they played against Rovers last week, he may have changed his outlook. He may think we're a little bit ahead of where I thought we would be. We'll go and have a go at them. So you'd expect it to be a cracking game, because I think there's going to be a huge crowd and there's huge focus already. Even looking at the news tonight, and there's a good clip on it, and you just feel that with the, you know, COVID stuff has kind of seems to have just gone away now. There's a huge hunger in the country for live sport, for live anything, and tomorrow will be to be no difference.
Just hope the bloody storm goes away. I mean, that's the only the only like little asterisk that's hanging there in the background. But
On Pats then, Pats Cup winners, but all the upheaval and all the controversy around Stephen O'Donnell leaving, and he brought players with him back to Dundalk. Stewie touched on it there, the expectations for Tim Clancy. Maybe they did change. We're all kind of wondering what you can read into the President's Cup, because it is essentially a pre-season game. But James Banquo, when he was on the pitch, was exceptional. And Pats have also made the most interesting signing of the season in terms of players in Owen Doyle coming over, a player who's been scoring goals relentlessly for season upon season at League One level in English football. And he looked the business. He looked fit. He looked ready, motivated. He's a very short price, I think, to be top scorer this season. Actually, somebody like him can elevate Pats to a level maybe more than they were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, Owen Doyle like scored in his final game in League One in January. Like, he's left with 18 months left in his contract. He would have been first. He'd still be playing for Bolton if he'd stayed there, as much as they were bringing another player in so he could go. He's playing at a level, was playing at a level where I think six or seven members of the Ireland squad are playing at the moment. So there's no doubt that they're bringing in someone of that quality. I think the only thing for Pats is, I mean, they've had that upheaval. No matter what way you look at it, it still was upheaval. I mean, they were building towards something, and they lose the manager, and they lose some key players then off the back of that, be it Robbie Benson, Lee Desmond, particularly at centre-half. So when a new manager comes in, is very well regarded manager, but there's naturally going to be that initial bedding in period, and I suppose we'll see. It appeared last week that the pre-season was going well, as much as the President's Cup can be misleading. The signs did appear to be encouraging, and I mean, it's not just Owen Doyle, but he's obviously a significant one. You know, Mark Doyle has come in from Drogheda, who would have worked with Tim Clancy there, probably looking to get on to the next level. Joe Redmond has come from there as well, and you know, the profile of some of the players they've signed is a good one. I kind of feel in the league sometimes, I think for teams to be teams to be sort of title contenders, they need to have those couple of lads within the team who you really feel have the ability to really push on onto the next level, maybe even a level that brings them out of the league. Someone like Dara Burns, who had interest over the winter and looked very good last year in his first sort of season, really, full season as a senior pro. And I think Pats, to be fair to them, I think they have some other good players coming through the academy. There's a kid called Adam Murphy who signed pro terms the same day as the Banquet. I think they're really excited about him. He's a midfielder. So they have a good thing going there. It's just about, I suppose, in the early weeks of the season, again, how quickly they can settle in. Because last season, they didn't necessarily, at times, have that focal point striker like Doyle. They sort of had Matty Smith, who's left as well, another big loss. You know, at times, they almost had a sort of a false nine scenario, and they had little ways of doing things, and that carried them to second, and they won the cup. And now they're trying to do it slightly differently in some areas. But I think Pats have the capacity to challenge. And I also think as well, I think this is a theme, if we do get a title race, I think Pats with Garrett Kelleher, who I think was probably fired up by some events over the winter, Derry with the financial muscle they have there, I think if they're close in the summer, I think both of those managers will probably get the strength in, if they are in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I like Clancy in his management style. I think he's the type of manager who tries to get players to play for him. I think that's his, a bit like Stephen Kenny. He kind of doesn't want to be too,
wants the personal connection.
Doesn't want to be too negative, too conflictive. Just wants to keep a good, happy camp. And I think when you look last year at how Drogheda were flying last year, absolutely flying, playing out of their skin, way above where you would have expected them to be, a really high level of performance. They were fit, they were organised, high energy. Couldn't last because you'd argue maybe the players they had, you know, that experience, they lacked that. I think if Tim can bring that to this team, this Pats team, so he's coming into a Pats side that finished second last year, won the cup in Europe. There's expectancy there. It depends on how Tim manages that, but I do think they can push Rovers, and I think they should be pushing Rovers. I like the fact that he's brought Doyle in, and it's kind of nailed down that centre forward position. He's got two players there. There might have been a little bit of last year. They kind of lacked that out and out number nine. It was a little, you know, they would do chop and change. They'd have to play a certain way when Coughlin was playing, and it might have, they weren't as potent, I think, as maybe as they could have been. They weren't as forward thinking as they might have been. But now you got Owen Doyle, Mark Doyle, I think they are definitely, that kind of nails shut that position. And I think there's goals in the team, Forrester as well, there's goals in the team. It's just a matter of whether he can get the balance right. Richmond Park is a huge plus for them because their home games are huge for them. They always have a good home record, Pats. If they can build on that and pick up points away from home, that's where they let themselves down last year. I think they'll be strong.
Probably suits them nicely as well that nobody's really talking about Pats ahead of tomorrow night. That's all about Damien Duff at Talca Park. We do have tickets to give away tonight to two of the most anticipated games of the opening night. Tickets for Shamrock Rovers' first game in the defence of the Premier Division title against UCD at Talla tomorrow. And also two pairs of tickets for that sold-out clash of Shelburne and Pats at Talca Park. To win, just text 53106 with your name and either Rovers or Shells, depending on which game you'd like to go to. Remember, the best place to get tickets is at shamrockrovers.ie or shelburnefc.ie if you want to get your season tickets there as well. In the Europa League, a bad night for Celtic. 2-0 down in the Europa League at home. Sorry, not even the Europa League, the Europa Conference League against Bodo Glimt, and there is, 10 minutes left in that one. Leicester City, though, 4-1 up on Randers in the Conference League. Earlier, Rangers, 4-2 winners away at Borussia Dortmund. All our football coverage brought to you with thanks to Sky. Manchester City, Spurs, that's Saturday Night Football live only on Sky Sports. We're looking ahead to the new League of Ireland season. Dan McDonald, Stewie Byrne in studio, 53106 if you want to get your text in.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky, watch Leeds take on old rivals Man United on Super Sunday. Live only on Sky Sports.
It's all happening at Celtic Park. Two goals in a minute. Celtic pulled one back, but then straight up the other end went the visitors, and Bodo Glimt have gone 3-1 up in their Europa Conference League game with 9 minutes remaining. Leicester still leading Randers by 4-1. It is the football show on this Thursday night on Off the Ball. 53106, the text number. Nathan with you till 10 o'clock. Dan McDonald and Stewie Byrne in studio. We're looking ahead to the new League of Ireland season, which gets underway tomorrow evening. The past, what, 6-7 years, we probably would have spent most of the night like this talking about Dundalk, Dan, and what to expect from Dundalk. I won't say they've gone under the radar because of all that's gone on with Stephen O'Donnell, but there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of expectation that they'll be in the mix come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that's probably from the national perspective. I think probably locally they'll still have to deal with the expectation just born out of their recent history. Although I think, to be fair, there probably would be some people there too who would just be happy for some semblance of sanity after some of the sort of stuff they were dealing with in recent years. You know, so I think there'll be a degree of understanding there around that it might take a little bit of time for things to get right, but there's obviously a balance with that too, because there's obviously focus on O'Donnell after the big move he made. So there's a couple of teams, there's quite a few teams in the league now, and it's been a big, you know, team that's changed in recent years. There's no doubt the volume of players coming in to the league from the UK is rising, and there's a variety of reasons for that. I think sort of clubs in the UK, you saw the Wolves loan director speaking recently, they feel the style of play has improved here. It's possibly more of a league that is a good option for a developing prospect. It's very competitive overseas at the moment, and there's a lot of turnover from the academies in the UK, and getting first team football is different. Some of the leagues down in League 1 and League 2, the teams there, they're running off smaller squads. So there's a variety of factors, but I think Dundalk are one in particular that, as much as they've signed some recognisable faces from around the league, you know, Robbie Benson and Sam Bowen and people like that who came from St Pat's, John Mountney, and they've retained some important members of their squad, it sort of feels like their season might hinge on how some sort of a portion of lads under the age of 23 coming in from the UK get on, a number of whom haven't played first team football before, you know, in any real pressurised scenario. So that's going to be the thing there. They have a couple come in from Brentford B, there's one from Swansea, Lou McCarry's grandson from Stoke, and the Swansea guy's called Dan Williams. People are quite excited he could be a good player, and they've like three Welsh under 21 internationals there in the squad, but it's very hard to predict. And even in pre-season, all, you know, caveats apply, there was a degree of inconsistency around some of their results and performances, so it might just take them a while to click. And I think they're another one that I think they're in a situation where I do think if in the summer there will probably be resources to strengthen there, but yeah, it might well be that for them top four is like would be an amazing result, whereas in previous seasons that would almost have been a disaster if it wasn't within the league or thereabouts, you know.
What do you think of Stephen O'Donnell's master plan of getting the band back together and bringing Robbie Benson and John Mountney and Keith Ward back up to Dundalk?
Well, I think he probably needed to bring them with him, to be quite honest. It's important that he has his players there that, and especially experienced players that know the club and just know the lie of the land, and any good manager always tries to sort of mirror his opinion on the game through a couple of players, like, and that's always important as well. But the fact that he's brought in, as Dan went through them there, so many, you know, young players from coming in from a different league, what's unknown to him is what are these lads like, what's their personality like, what are they going to be like when, as we spoke about earlier, when they get into a house in Dundalk and the you know, the messing starts or whatever the case
may
be.
What happens in these houses in Dundalk?
Oh, God.
You can tell us off air.
We'd have to have another show about all this. But not just Dundalk, anywhere. Once you put kids in a house, Nathan...
Stephen O'Donnell and Rory Higgins...
We're under 23.
Once shared a house together in Dundalk, which actually turned out to be... It's a topical house, considering Higgins is there tomorrow. And I think Chris Shields might be in it at one time too. That's probably one of the better houses in terms of league medals or whatever. That was
goes on in houses stays in houses.
There. I'm leaving the stories there. Yeah,
but you know, so when you look at who Stephen has brought in, I think you kind of really see the kind of job he's given himself. I think he's put himself into a difficult position. He's taken it on for, you know, and we won't go into the reasons or how he felt why he left. He's here now and he has to. I think he has to get off to a good start, Stephen. I really do. I don't think they can get away with getting off to a poor start. I think there'd be a bit of pressure on them from the get go, and I think he'll probably have an expectation in his own head that, especially that now that he's back at Dundalk, that this is the place where he's had all his success. He'll have a vision in his own head about what he can possibly achieve with the football club. I don't know what was said to him from the owner's point of view, and I know there's still a bit of a hangover from his contract. There's an issue that's going on there. It's going to be a side issue that can be distracting as well. So I think he has to get off to a good start. I'm not saying he has to get off to a flyer, but he has to get them off to a settled start. I mean, if it turns out that, you know, from the get go they're all over the place, I think that they could be in trouble, you know.
Yeah, in terms of things to look forward to for the season, Dan, Dundalk's trip to St Patrick's Athletic is going to be one.
Yeah, they put it in the last
8th
round.
8th of April.
The computer that, of
who's
course.
They? What do you know, Dan? Who are they?
The random fixture generator program.
Jeez, the cynicism. Sent them, he doesn't believe that there is a random fixture generator program. You think there's somebody in the FAI screwing everybody over.
Sometimes you have these derbies on the same night and you're just thinking...
I think they use the same machine from Willy Wonka that predicts where the Wonka bars was, doesn't it? I'm going to tell exactly what the machine where to go.
Well, I'm not even sure, to be honest. I mean, listen, I'm not going down that road. This one might have just been an accident of circumstance that game has ended up at the end of the window. The end of the first round of fixtures. And they've mixed things up a bit this year, actually, with the order of the fixtures and stuff. It's not just, you know, the same sequence repeating. So, that is going to be one of the spicier games. I mean, there is ill feeling there. There's no denying it. I don't think it can reasonably be played down, because it was a very fraught situation, and sort of Stewie alluded to the fact there that, you know, that there has been action taken subsequently, as much as everyone seems very confident in their position in that one. So, you know, who knows where that one goes really at all. But there is tension there, and it is certainly, I mean, there's probably another one tomorrow in a slightly different way. I mean, we haven't got to Derry City yet, who have the chance to be, I think, a real contender this year. Very much so, and they've got four ex-Dundalk players going back there tomorrow night. So the Dundalk fans go along tomorrow and they see McElhenney, Duffy, Patching and Cameron Dunnigan, like four big players from recent seasons playing in Derry. Now, people from Derry would say this is only right, that it's basically the repatriation of McElhenney and Duffy, who were away for so long, and now all of a sudden Derry are in a good financial position. They have an owner who is his company has been sold, so he's now technically, I think, a billionaire, and he's a lifelong fan of the club, so he's going nowhere. They're handing out 3-4 year deals to their players to bring them home, and we know what Derry can be like when it really ignites, and I think they're players this season.
Well, you were talking about Pats, you were talking about Derry potentially igniting. I was saying last week it was interesting at the League of Ireland launch that Pats seem to be talking up Derry and Derry seem to be talking up Pats as the most likely to push Shamrock Rovers. But like, Michael Duffy and Patrick McElhenney at different stages over the last 5 or 6 years were maybe the best player in the league at certain times. So like, that's the potential explosion for Derry, actually, is that
McElhenney,
back to that sort of, if it's a giant if, but if they can get back to that sort of level, well, suddenly maybe they can compete against Rovers.
Oh, I've no doubt they can. I'll rephrase that. They should. I personally think that both Pats and Derry really should be trying to push Rovers. You know, I'm not saying they're going to get there, but they should be trying to push them. You know, there's no doubt about it. The signing, the four players that Derry have brought in are real quality, and certainly loads of experience. Again, I'll go back to that whole balance thing, and it might just be a case that fitting those four guys into a Derry City team that maybe was fairly set in its ways, quite a young team, inexperienced maybe, but ultimately performed very well under Rory Higgins once he put a good shape on them, and they had a very strong run under Rory. So that depends on how those guys fit in. It's sometimes as an experienced player, and when you come from, I'm talking about the likes of Duffy, McElhenney, you come from Dundalk, from having played in Europe multiple times, won multiple league trophies, you go into a different setup, and if things aren't the way you're used to them to be, in other words, if the quality of player is not there or the attitude of the player is not where you want it to be, it can get a little bit under your skin, it can get a bit frustrating. But again, I like Rory. I like the way he goes about his business as well, and I think he can certainly be. He's kind of the perfect sort of person there to just try and manage that, and to try and get those players to kind of gel, especially with the new guys that have come in.
One of the quirks of the Premier Division, and maybe not quirk isn't the right word, one of the frustrations is the lack of representation for large parts of the country. Like, Talla Stadium is the most southerly stadium in the League of Ireland Premier Division this season. We have a text in asking from Shane O.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
What effect does having no Munster team in the Premier Division have? And also, do you think Cork have a chance of winning promotion back? Like, it's hard to know what sort of an effect it has, but it's very Dublin-centric, particularly if Derry don't do something.
Oh, it is, Graham. And like, we have Sligo Rovers as well. I mean, I know we can't sort of mention everyone, and I know we haven't, like, Bows as well. They were another Dublin club who, you know, are going to be very good to watch this season, I think, with the attacking talent that they have. But it is an issue. I think it is for me. Like, we can sit here and talk about our excitement around the league coming back, but we are sitting in Dublin having that discussion with the ability to visit sort of five grounds in the Premier Division within a sort of a 20 to 30 minute driving radius. We're telling people in other parts of the country to really get on board with it, and they're hours away from seeing Damien Duff Shells or Jack Byrne or whoever it might be that sort of piques their interest. And there's reasons that it happened. I mean, you know, Cork's demise is unbelievable, really. I saw them last week against Shells. I think they have a good chance of probably coming back up this year, but they're not there at the moment. Waterford, similarly, the sort of chaotic implosion last year that saw them lose out to UCD in the playoff with all the stuff going on with Mark Bertram, it was, you know, dreadful. And it is bad. Like, there's no positive spin on there being no Munster team in the Premier Division. It is not good. And you just hope that it's not the case next season.
I'm going to put you both on the spot. So we get to June, we get to a lot of fixtures for the Republic of Ireland, Nations League and all of that. And Stephen Kenny is bringing in a player from the League of Ireland. Who's the most likely to be in?
It would be Jack, you'd have to think. Like, I mean, even when he was...
Who's after Jack? Who's next?
Oh.
Or who do you think could make that step in the space of the next 4 or 5 months?
You really put me on the spot.
I really have put you on the spot.
I mean, Danny Mandrew was obviously in last year. I genuinely think, right, that if Patrick McElhenney had 5 weeks last season around that time with the Vitesse game, maybe the time has just passed. Stephen Kenny loves Patrick McElhenney. I really believe that if McElhenney had avoided injuries and had just had a clear run in the last couple of years, I know there was talk about Duffy being around squads and he's done his clearance and he went through it. I think he would have loved to pick McElhenney if he got the chance, and maybe that ship has sailed now.
29.
If he got super fit, I mean, people were talking about Forrester last year, you know, and he's what, maybe 28, similar age. If McElhenney had a clear run and had that run he had last summer for an entire season, I really think Kenny would think about it. I'm not saying that it would happen, but I'm definitely thinking that he would get consideration if Derry took off. I mean, people are looking at younger ones, and you're sort of thinking who will be talked about in that breath. I mean, Devoy, Dawson Devoy's around the under 21. He's around the under 21s, but hasn't necessarily even played regularly for them. So there is options in that position. But the fact that he stayed for Bows, he's a talented player. You'd think Kenny would like his style of play. I think you're probably talking in that bracket. I think maybe some of the other promising ones are a bit young, I think, to be talked about, I think, from senior recognition status.
Who's going to win the title?
I think, well, Rovers are the team to beat, Nathan. It's very hard to look past them, it really is. You know, I do go back to it. I think Pats and Derry really have to put it up to them. And I think you know, they have a responsibility to put it up to them. You know, they have to be competitive. They have to feel that they can, especially Pats, they can go one better. You know, European football coming up as well, but very difficult to look beyond Rovers, and I think they'll win it.
Go along with that, Dan?
I do, yeah. I mean, I'd love to be able to give a different prediction, but I think a lot of the pre-season predictions from people are coming round to that Rovers scenario. Maybe everyone was tipping Shells in 2005-2. I'm sure everyone tipped in Dundalk in 2017, but yeah, I think Rovers have the ingredients to go and do it.
You're back at Talca. What ground do you get the most love at when you go back to Stewie?
Oh, Talca, yeah.
Bow
feel
down.
Like, just feel like a walk home.
Are you worried that now that Duffer's there, nobody's going to give a damn about Stewie Byrne?
No, I couldn't care less, to be quite honest.
He's worried.
Don't
He's
worry.
Definitely
it
worried.
Won't happen.
He's definitely worried.
Well, there's a musician team there as well. Like, for those I love. Shells is having a cultural revival at the moment, and Stewie is sort of part of it.
Brother's a musician?
Yeah,
I didn't know that, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Very good. Now it's the one place I walk into and I feel home.
Right.
I've never had a bad. I've had one bad memory in that place, but You know, I've had nothing but wonderful memories, and it's just kind of feel like it's home. And it has that sense of history about it. You know, it does. We're very lucky to, I mean, have grounds in this league that kind of can really make a noise. That's one of them. Like, you know.
All right, a lot to look forward to. We are going to be increasing our coverage of the League of Ireland on Off the Ball this season, starting tomorrow night. Well, we started last Friday night, but do get on board with our League of Ireland late night every Friday night around about 10 o'clock. If you just follow at Off the Ball on Twitter, you will see it there. It'll be myself, Johnny Ward, Shane Keegan, maybe Stewie some night. Dan won't be able to get away from us. And we're going to be going around the grounds, getting the input from supporters, getting your thoughts on the game. Proper old school phone in, Stewie.
Yeah,
lovely.
On Twitter.
From 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So you'll be able to get the podcast of that then every Saturday morning as well. It's been a bad night for Celtic in the Europa League, beaten 3-1 at home by Bodo Glimt. Leicester 4-1 winners against Randers. We need to take a quick break.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Don't miss Man City versus Spurs on Saturday Night Football. Live only on Sky Sports.